Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. Jeff, how the hell are you doing, my friend?
EC-dub, as you like to say, as everyone likes to say. I'm feeling good, you know, enjoying the summer heat. We got just all kinds of rest. We got SummerSlam coming up. We got the G1 in New Japan. There's all kinds of good stuff for us. And we're talking ECW today, you know. Who doesn't look forward to that?
I agree. You know how I feel about ECW. And
yep,
for sure. You know, it's interesting, as I was doing some prep for this, and we're going to talk more about this during the match, but looking at some of the star ratings from Mr. Meltzer, yep, related to ECW, I don't think he liked ECW. I think he's a little biased. It just shows you that the star ratings are subjective. And again, we'll talk more about it, but yep, you know, it was interesting how little regard there was for ECW. But again, we're going to watch the match. You know, maybe we'll love it, maybe we won't. We'll see how this holds up. But I'm really, really looking forward to this one. Why did you pick it? Because I have no idea.
Yeah.
Highly rated match. What's the backstory here?
I know this was like, it was ECW time. And so I wanted to make sure. I felt like this one, we keep saying ECW, we do need to clarify, this is not Extreme Championship Wrestling either. And so, you know, we are not quite there yet. And so, you know, some things are happening in the near future here where we will become that. We'll talk about it later. But yeah, for right now, like, you know, it's just one of those where it's on our list. I don't know if somebody recommended it to us, but we're kind of going for it. That's what it boils down to. I don't have a good reason. We're just doing it because.
Good. Well, I'm pumped for it. Let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
Well, where did this take place? Was it Madison Square Garden, Jeff?
What was our famous venue out in the foothills of the forest from our previous episode?
I don't know, last week or a few weeks ago we were talking about.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, no. Not at a, I say, probably a more famous location where this one took place than anywhere else. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like when there's obscure venues. Interestingly enough, now this is according to Wikipedia, 850 were in attendance. So remember, not every ECW arena show was sold out. And that's something that I didn't even really, I guess, think about or remember, because you just, you know, these were like standing room only, crowds getting turned to race sellouts all the time, but it wasn't always that way. I mean, it was a grind to get, you know, even 1,000 people to show up back in the day. And to Jeff's point, we're at Eastern Championship Wrestling at this point. So, man, there's going to be a lot of interesting characters on this show, but the Bad Breed, which was Axel and Ian Rotten, I did not know that was their tag team name. They would defeat Hack Myers and Rockin' Rebel. Mikey Whipwreck is going to defeat Chad Austin by DQ to retain his ECW television title. I think I brought this up before, Jeff, but how in the hell is there a disqualification in ECW? They had to have stopped doing those at some point. Because I don't remember them as time went on, but maybe they had them. Tommy Dreamer is going to defeat Stevie Richards. Mr. Hughes is going to defeat Tommy Dreamer.
A 3-minute battle, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sabu and the Tasmaniac. Remember, Taz used to be the Tasmaniac, would defeat the Pitbulls in 5 minutes. The Sandman is going to beat Tommy Cairo, accompanied by Peaches in a Dueling Canes match in 8 minutes. The match we're going to cover is actually a 20-minute match for the heavyweight championship. And then the main event barbed wire match, Public Enemy defeating Terry and Dory Funk Jr. Whew, what a show, man. You know, it's interesting, and I know we've covered, I think we've covered a match on one of them before, but I just remember there being some badass Heatwave matches over the years. One of my favorite wrestling pay-per-views of all time is ECW Heatwave 98. So I don't know what it was about Heatwave, but always seemed to deliver over the years. I know there wasn't a ton of build to this, Jeff, but storyline standpoint, how do we get to these two facing off?
Yeah, and this one, I think this is one of the few times we've talked about Sabu, so I wanted to kind of go in a little bit of him. You know, this match taking place July 16th, 1994. He actually made his Eastern Championship Wrestling debut in October of 1993. So really less than a year before this is when he kind of made his debut. He had bounced around a little bit, you know, before that and things like that. But his debut is NWA Bloodfest. And then his second match, actually, with the promotion, he beat Shane Douglas for the ECW Heavyweight Championship. And so while there's just not a lot out there about, you know, detailed storylines, like these guys were just kind of wrestling and things like that. Like, I will say, like, these guys right from the start had, you know, I will say some chemistry or, you know, just some interactions with each other that kind of took them forward. And so, Sabu was riding high, though. He beat Terry Funk for the ECW World Heavyweight Championship. You know, there was the ECW World Television Championship. Just kind of doing a whole lot of different stuff. He actually had a three-way match again with Terry Funk and Shane Douglas. It went, that was the night the line was crossed. They went to a one-hour time limit draw. And so that would have been February of 94. So just a little bit before this. So again, you did have, you know, Shane Douglas, you did have Sabu kind of in each other's universes, as I like to say. Man, I can't imagine, like, that's one I added it to the list after the fact too, like Terry Funk, Shane Douglas, Sabu in an hour long match. Like, I don't know if we'll get to it, but they, you know, that one be crazy kind of watching. So, just a month prior to this, it was Hostile City Showdown. You had Sabu beating Cactus Jack actually in the main event of that one. And then just on ECW TV, it getting announced that Shane Douglas would take on Sabu at Heatwave. And so, you know, while they had some TV time, like, you know, they kind of brawled with each other over the next couple of weeks and things like that, there really wasn't a whole lot going on. Now, I do want to point out, like, Shane Douglas, you know, favorite of the payoff.
Friend of the payoff.
Absolutely. Friend, all that good stuff. And so being on the show before, you know, he was a heel at this point. He had not too long prior to this kind of been going down or going known as a franchise. And so his name kind of, you started hearing him a little bit more because of that time limit draw. He actually had a steel cage with Terry Funk at Ultimate Jeopardy. And so that one taking place in March. And so really, I feel like at this point in early 1994, you had Shane Douglas, you had Sabu, you had Terry Funk, and these were the guys that were kind of at the top. Now, we know something will happen with Shane Douglas that gives him a little bit more notoriety, which we'll talk about after the fact here, but no spoilers. If you know what's coming, it hasn't happened yet. We're still in this match as Eastern Championship Wrestling. And it almost feels crazy, like in front of, you know, 800, 900 people, whatever we want to believe it was, like, these guys went out and did a 20-minute match that, you know, who knows what you would have expected. And so, like I said, they had been in each other's kind of worlds, but, you know, sometimes you don't need much, just about a month long build to get to this one. And let's have a match for the belt.
All right. So we're at the 1 hour and 15 minute mark of Heatwave 94, 1 hour and 15 minute mark, Heatwave 94. Jeff, are you ready?
I am excited. I am ready.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
All right, here we go.
9-1-1, and Mr. Hughes
has Gane just entered the ring.
And Angel and Paulie are short.
Young guy, man.
Do we have into it? Shades of Hulk and a little bit of Warrior with the tassels there. Are you feeling a little bit of a call out there with the outfit on Shane? These guys getting right into it.
Yeah, it was 28 years ago. You know, you say that, when you're like, oh, Shane looks so young. Well,
it's because it was, right?
Yeah.
Sabu just kind of diving at him right now. Sabu, fellow Michigan native as well, too, as everyone kind of knows the joke, used to be from Bombay, Michigan, not a place, but that's okay.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, that was one of the things. So not a thing. Yep.
So the last match I see Sabu working was about a year ago.
Okay. Where at?
I don't know, you know, if he's going to work again at some point or not. And I know Shane's worked earlier this year. So got 30 years later and they're still out there taking bumps.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Kind of, we've heard it's, he's got the franchise on the back of the trunks too at this point. Do you think at this point, kind of, we know what's coming after this. Do you think they kind of, there may have been, you know, we know it, the behind the scenes was kind of crazy with what will eventually become ECW. But at this point, do you think that maybe they were having some conversations about what they were going to do? You wonder, like, when did it start, do you think?
With transitioning to ECW?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to think it was in the works for a while.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. I mean, there's a pretty clear vision for what they're trying to do with this stuff. And it was so much different. I mean, I think we forget that, you know, it's easy to, like, you know, you're watching this right now and you're like, oh, okay. So this is kind of like GCW, you know, I've been to independent shows that were very gritty like this. And, you know, they beat the shit out of each other and blah, 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 you know. I mean, this wasn't normal back then. I don't know how else to say it. Like, this stuff didn't exist. Remember, at this point, 94, I don't think a table had ever been broken on WWF television. Mm-hmm. You had Cactus and Vader doing some stuff in WCW. I mean, you had some kind of brawling there. You really had no brawling going on with the WWF. Certainly, you know, Lucha not really happening much in the U.S. yet, starting to a little bit in WCW. But again, you know, this was just so unique what they were doing. You know, so it was so much different. So when you think, oh, Eastern Championship Wrestling, they're part of the National Wrestling Alliance. Yeah, but every other National Wrestling Alliance promotion at this point all look like, you know, stupid Memphis wrestling. You have these guys, you know, and it's always funny too with ECW because, you know, people look, what's the knock on ECW? Oh, it was dangerous and they beat the shit out of each other. And what are you looking at right now, Jeff? You're looking at two guys having an athletic wrestling match. There's currently a submission move. They're, you know,
a lot of rest holds.
Yeah. They're wrestling a match and they're countering each other and they're rolling each other up. And it's being done in a kind of gritty way that doesn't look like, you know, fucking gymnastics, like too much of the stuff does now. But, you know, that's what's so funny about it. Yes, the main event of this show was a barbed wire tag team match that was an absolute bloodbath. And yeah, there was some crazy shit also on the show. But this is two guys, they're pretty damn good wrestlers. Remember, Shane Douglas was doing some really good stuff in WCW prior to this. He had had a cup of coffee in the WWF. The guy could straight up work. You know, he could cut a promo. Sabu could do a lot of stuff, you know, other than just jump through tables. So, you know, you're getting a pretty darn good wrestling match out of these two. So anyways, the point being, the long-winded answer to your question is, yeah, they were doing stuff that was so different that inevitably they had to have known, hey, we got to do things on our own. We got to build our own brand for ourselves. Did they know it was going to be Extreme Championship Wrestling and Heyman was going to run it and they'd be on pay-per-view a couple years later? Of course not. But I think there was a clear vision that they wanted to do something that went far above and beyond, you know, studio, regional wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, like I said, so you being our resident ECW guy around here, were you, and we were young at this point, but were you aware of this? I feel like it was, you know, more regional to your region and kind of Pennsylvania and stuff like this. So what were you watching back then?
No, so this, I mean, yeah. at this point, this was still just another regional indie. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know if their television signal, you know, if they had TV in Pittsburgh where I lived at this point, they may have. I wasn't watching it yet. I mean, it really wasn't on my radar. Again, 1994, I actually started reading a different dirt sheet, not maybe around this time. My uncle would get it, and then he'd give it to me. And it was, I mean, it looked just like the Wrestling Observer, front and back, black and white, you know, a bunch of words, 15 pages. I mean, I read this thing religiously the second I got it from him, and it was always a week late because he'd read it first. But it was called the Wrestling Tribune, and I actually kind of Googled it and found out that those guys sold their subscriber list to Wade Keller, and it became part of the Torch. But yeah, that was I thought it was a really good newsletter. I mean, I loved it. So I'd read a little bit about it, but remember, you know, ECW at this point, here we go outside the ring. So Shane's on the ground, table out there, Sabu's got a chair. I mean, I'm sure he's about to do some crazy shit here.
Right.
Man, the headshot's ooh, tough to watch, man.
Unprotected headshot, yeah. He kind of slowed it down a little bit, but it was still full contact on that, yep.
Some of those, like, Attitude Era, like Ken Shamrock, Rock, Triple H, ones were just brutal.
Yeah, so, I've said that before.
So, yeah, so, I mean, I knew about this from the dirt sheets, but it was covered the same as, like, the USWA. Here we go, Sabu. Dove on to Shane. Shane was sitting on a chair. Awesome. You know, terrible camera angle. You couldn't see.
Yeah, I can't see it because there's only the hard cam.
I haven't really paid attention. They only had the hard camera, right?
For this. Yeah, that's up till this point. Yeah, we can't see anything.
There's one camera angle. So you forget. You know, it's nice to not have to see all the fast cuts, though.
It's almost interesting. Like, it's almost it's low budget with that. Like, it's not, but it is. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't mind it, but it would be nice to see everything. So
you right.
Really didn't see it. So, this was kind of on the same level as like other regional indies. So, but obviously as time went on, so yeah, I'd read about it, but like I'd read about Taz, but I couldn't spot it, in an audience. And then I started watching on TV probably 96 or whatever. And then of course they were on pay-per-view in 97. So the ECW weekly TV that was sitting
right.
2 or 3 in the morning on a Saturday, I'd record it. So,
We've got two, like you said, kind of Heatwave being a big show here. So we've got a couple different matches on. Ooh, Sabu with a big miss there. Ooh, that was painful. We got a Heatwave 95 match. We got a 98 match. That was what you were talking about. That was Tanaka and Mike Awesome. And so we've got that one on our list to one day talk about. It was a short match, only 12 minutes. But I think I've
got a 12 minute match with 87 chair shots and 15 table bumps.
Right. Yeah. This has been interesting. We talked a little bit about the match at the start here, but like, it is very much like what you would like a standard wrestling match. Like, yeah, there was the chair shot and stuff like that, but compared to what we, that was why I wanted to clarify. Like, we're talking ECW, but it ain't ECW. Like, and it's almost weird seeing these guys just doing a wrestling match, because you just you know that it's before kind of what happens with ECW. And so like he just did kind of a springboard from the outside to the inside there, Shane Douglas onto Sabu. It's just weird kind of watching this one almost. It's been a good match though. They've been nonstop. There's been a lot happening and stuff like that, but big pile driver there. Sit out pile driver. Yep.
So according to Meltzer, the best match of Sabu's career was against Too Cold Scorpio in February of 96. That might be a fun one to go back. Obviously, we haven't covered Too Cold Scorpio yet.
That'd be indirectly, yeah, with a certain event, but yeah.
So you got
some of his other matches on that one too? Like kind of what?
Yeah. Two different tag matches with him and Taz against Johnny Grunge and Rocco Rock of the Public Enemy. A Monsters Ball match from TNA 2005. Obviously, I've never seen that. It's funny because the Monster Ball, I guess, is back with like Raven presiding over it, if I'm not mistaken. Did you hear that?
The Raven? Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be a new Monster Ball match that Raven's like the special enforcer for.
You know what? I saw a headline recently about him, I saw a headline about him.
That's what it's about. Yeah, that's what it's about. But
okay,
it's this match was Abyss, Jeff Hardy, Rhino, and Sabu.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, when you said it, I was reading a list myself. It said they're talking about ECW Heatwave 98 again in the tag match with Sabu and Rob Van Dam on that one. Taking on Hayabusa and Shinzaki being one of Sabu's best matches ever.
And when was that? Was that the Barely Legal match?
That was Heatwave 1998.
Yes. See, I'm telling you, the Heatwave 98 was great.
Yep, and they're saying I'd watch the entire pay-per-view because it's probably the best ECW show ever, top to bottom. Yep.
Turns it into a power. Shane on top.
Now going to the top and drops the elbow.
Yep.
Remember, that's Randy Savage is still an active performer at this time.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
The best elbow drop ever. But while we're talking about Heatwave 98, might as well pull up that card and cover it real quick. So it was, you know, there weren't a ton of matches, only six matches on the show. So this would have been a pay-per-view. This is after they were on pay-per-view, right? Just Incredible defeating Jerry Lynn in 15 minutes. Candido, accompanied by Sonny, defeating Lance Storm in 11 minutes. Masato Tanaka defeating Mike Awesome, 11 minutes. Sabu and Van Dam against the Hayabusa and Shinzaki. Taz Bigelow in a Falls Count Anywhere match that was off the charts. And then the main event, Dreamer, Sandman, and Spike against Bubba Ray, D-Von, and Big Dick Dudley in a street fight.
Hmm.
So, I mean, dude, that's the thing about these ECW pay-per-views, man. It's like 2.5 hours. Every match is a banger, you know, nonstop action. They were a fun watch, man. Like you could, the ECW pay-per-views in a lot of ways, Jeff, were more watchable than a lot of the other stuff out there. Like your average, you know, 98, your average WWF or WCW pay-per-view during that era, again, they're doing them every month. There was some bullshit on the shows.
Oh yeah.
Like they weren't that watchable. I mean, there are bits and pieces. Like the best part of WrestleMania was incredible. Don't get me wrong, but you know, there were some lows on those. These were just kind of like, oh, nothing bad. The bat and even the stuff that wasn't great, you know, 8 minutes of a street fight. Cool. You know, so it went fast. So, you know,
how much of that do you put like on like Paul Heyman? Like, cause
Paul Heyman, he could pace a show really well. Even when he was booking SmackDown, like the way he lays out a wrestling show is pretty much the opposite of what they do now. And I'm not critiquing them for what they do now. It's obviously a different era. They've got sponsors. They've got a lot of other considerations. So it's all good. Big bump there by Shane.
I said Sabu taking like a weird corkscrew off the top rope, knocking Shane to the outside.
But Heyman, the way he books a show, it just never really stops. It's just like a 2.5 hour car crash in a good way, you know, versus the stop and start that, you know, we're kind of used to now. Tony Khan does a better job of it. The thing that WWE does now on their premium live events, they do that thing where they reset after every match.
Oh yeah. It's terrible. Yeah.
But I will tell you, and I used to hate it, but I'll tell you why now I appreciate it. I can't watch 3 hours of Raw.
Okay. Yeah.
I can come through it. Right. I can read the results. Same with SmackDown, right? I mean, the amount of weekly TV I'm watching, very, very little. Okay. But I love the pay-per-views. Why? Because they're free and it's 3 or 4 hours on a Sunday and they're all busting their ass and their stakes and it feels bigger. So, and I don't think I'm much different than most fans out there. Right. I mean, hardcore fan, but in terms of weekly TV, I guess I'm a casual. I mean, I'm more than a casual viewer. Like I know what happens every week. My point is that, you know, I turn on SummerSlam, Money in the Bank, whatever, pick a pay-per-view. And again, I'm watching it more leading into WrestleMania, leading into Rumble. But like, by and large, I turn it on and, Drew McIntyre's in a feud with Baron Corbin. Dude, I don't know what the hell's going on. Give me a 3-minute video. Oh, interesting. You gave me the highlights. Now I'm more excited for this match, or I actually know, you know, what's going on. I mean, if you hadn't watched the programming and you turn on Hell in a Cell, Cody, Seth, you watch that vignette before the match and you're like, holy shit. Then the match delivers and you're like, this was great. It was free. So I like that. And I, you know, it's funny because I've been getting into some Twitter wars lately with people, and my God, it's nasty. But you know, the point I was trying to make was, hey, not everyone watches every minute of AEW, and not everyone watched every minute of indie wrestling leading into it. I don't know, like Eddie Kingston, I don't know much about him. Okay. And I know people would go, well, he's been, I don't know. Okay. I had heard the name, but it meant nothing when he showed up. Okay. Call me a shitty fan. Call me a casual fan. Call me whatever you want. You got to give me some backstory on this guy.
Well, and it was, and you and I had this conversation leading up to AEW, like Forbidden Door. And like that, you know, I think usually like with the AEW pay-per-view, you and I, one of the two of us text each other. It was like, are you getting it? Are you getting it? And like for Forbidden Door, that was, you know, the gripe, everybody leading up to it is, we don't necessarily know who everybody is. Like you and I had a back and forth of like, I watch and follow New Japan and I don't know all the stories for some of this. Yeah. When you got Cesaro/Claudio showing up and immediately they start talking about Eddie Kingston.
The lights out?
What? Oh yeah. The lights are out. The lights are out at the arena.
It wasn't an angle. The power just went out.
Okay, we're back to it. Okay. But yeah, like the storytelling there, I think a lot of people, even like Meltzer was saying, in the lead up to it, like, yeah, there has not been a lot of good build. Well, then it was a really good show, especially if you look at his star ratings, bias much. But I think I'm with you of like, if you've never watched a WWE, like you could sit next to someone that's never watched a show and they're going to tell you the story. Like, do I like a video package before every single match? No, but at the same time, like they do a good job of trying to tell that story. Whereas like Forbidden Door, it's like, yeah, you might know Okada, you might know, you know, some of the big names and things like that, but like, what are you supposed to do? There's just like, sometimes there's just, you kind of just got to watch the match and hope. Like same with Will Ospreay, like big fan, seen, you know, maybe a dozen or so of his matches. Sabu crazy bump, kind of moonsaulting into a table after Douglas stepped out of the way.
And Paul Lee looks worried.
Is he carrying? He's carrying one of those giant ass. Is that like a cordless phone? It's not one of the big old ones.
That was Paulie Dangerously's gimmick. He carried the old school's
phone. Over. Yeah, that's crazy. Yep.
It'd be funny if he came out to Raw with one of those. Some
that would be good. Yep.
So,
anyways, to kind of put a ball on my point of like, yeah, I like. We're watching two different shows sometimes. And so, and if who knows, like I saw like the buys kind of fell right in the middle of like some of their previous buys. It was like 130,000 buys or something like that, which, you know, maybe it was the top, I think it was a top five, but it was number five. Like, so it did the story and build. And then the rumor now is that the next one's going to be in Japan. So, and like, I know Tanahashi, like I know some of those names, Ace, of course. And like, you know, I like watching his matches, but yeah, it's just some of it. It was hard to get invested in that.
Just felt like a lot of exhibition matches.
Yep. So here you go. Kind of trying to revive Sabu at this point. Douglas in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, still, but I mean, that's the difference between AEW and WWE. There's no right or wrong. It's just two different business models. You know, WWE is trying to cater to a 6-year-old.
That's a bell.
To an 80-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay.
And being PG while doing it.
Yeah, they're Disney.
Yep.
And AEW obviously wants to grow, but, you know, they're targeting a very specific wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the plan, you know, I think a lot of it is, I'd love to know the finances. if they're making money, God bless them. Keep doing what you're doing. But if they're losing money, they're going to have to make the audience bigger. And I don't know what they're doing right now that suggests the audience is going to get bigger.
Yeah, you got Paulie taking a huge bump here. Sabu was getting carried out after a count out defeat here. He was on a stretcher, and now Paulie dangerously just getting his ass kicked.
By Mr. Hughes. Man, Mr. Hughes looks...
He is a big man.
Big. And remember, this wasn't long after he was wrestling in the WWF. Yep. He sure as hell wasn't that.
It's 9-1-1. Yep. Big choke slam. Yep. There's a lot of meat in that ring right now. A face off, yeah. So that was a Shane Douglas win by count out.
Mr. Hughes in 9-1-1.
These two guys kind of, yeah. Big chokeslam. Got some elevation on that one.
Hey, so I had to look it up. 911's still alive. He's 65 years old.
Wow.
Wrestled his last match in 2006.
Yeah, the women getting choke slammed now. We're just all over the place.
Was briefly in WCW 96, 97. I did not know that.
We will have to find a 9-1-1 match to cover. Yep.
He appeared in the 2020 GTS Regal Rumble to eliminate Tito the Clown.
Okay. It was the Rookie of the Year, PWI, in 1994. This year, actually. Yikes. Okay.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Cool. Okay.
All right. Let's get into the aftermath.
Oh, it's time for the aftermath.
Well,
I'm almost intrigued is the best word I have here. Like, I think, you know, we always say ECW and you go in thinking it's going to be Extreme Championship Wrestling. This was not that, even though we said it at the start of the show, like this is Eastern Championship Wrestling. And so I think that piece of it is just interesting to me. I say it's such a weird snapshot in time, I think, is why I'm so intrigued by it, because it's really at the end of what, you know, Eastern Championship Wrestling is going to be. And it was like, I'd say it was an average wrestling match, like if that, like it was probably right at the line. And so, I enjoyed watching it, but I'm more intrigued by like just how I feel about after watching it now. Like it's just been, it was interesting for sure.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah. It missed.
Yeah. Right. That's what, like I said, it was not like, you know, crazy or anything like this. Well, so what kind of happened after this? We're going to get into it. Like I said, there's just not a lot out there about this, which is interesting. And so, Sabu, it really didn't, like, there wasn't a whole lot happening, but of course we get to the point eventually, like later in 1995, actually just a little under a year after this match taking place, like with him no showing, one of his matches. He actually was in New Japan Wrestling for a booking. And so, you know, Heyman firing him and things like that. And so like Sabu has said publicly, like he was just done. Like that was that. And he chose Japan over ECW. And so, and it was about 45 days later where you had Shane Douglas throwing down the belt, declaring, Extreme Championship Wrestling is born, and him being the first, no longer Eastern Championship, but Extreme Championship Wrestling champion. So, which, you know, it kind of, like I said, just, that's why I asked of like, it's such a weird time because, you know, who knew what at this point. I'm sure there was some negotiations going on, you know, behind the scenes, as we all know about, that kind of fell apart, and who knew what and what they were going to do. And so, yeah, just kind of crazy, like, to think what, you know, a year later, not even a year, but like 6 months later, what this promotion would become. So, I kind of thoughts on this one. So, you had made a comment at the start here about Meltzer and his, I could not find a rating on this one. I went through all the observers. Did you find a star rating on this one or no?
I did not.
Okay. Yeah. And so, I don't know, but we do have at least PWI rankings for this one. You got Sabu coming in at number 12, Shane Douglas coming in at number 32. And I will say, I went through about 7 or 8 torches and observer newsletters. And other than this was a match that took place, there was no write-ups of any kind about this. And so, you did have the kind of steroid trial. I believe this was steroid trial. No,
this was the end. Yeah. It was like the end.
That way I did a couple episodes together. So I don't, yeah. So you had the not guilty verdict coming out actually, like, I think it was the week after this match or the week of this match. So I can understand why things kind of got lost in the shuffle there. And so, yeah, just kind of, you know, crazy, but, I'll go first on this one on this week. I'm going to just give it a 5. I think it was perfectly average for a wrestling match. I don't think it deserves more than that. I don't think it was a bad match. You know, I know it came with the write-ups like Sabu botch. It's like, well, I know he had some of those, but this was not that. I think they were some crazy spots, but overall, like, yeah, this match exists. I wouldn't, you know, go out of my way to recommend it to anybody though.
Yeah, definitely not. I'm actually going to give it a 4. It did not work for me. And I mean, I like both guys. I just did not work. And obviously bullshit finish, kind of just not a great match. Not a great match.
Yep.
You would not recommend this to anyone.
No, but you know what I would recommend to someone, Tom, especially we're in the summer months. It's hot. I want to make sure that all of our fans of the Payoff are checking out manscaped.com. We've got 20% off using that promo code payoff20. Got to make sure, you know, high recommendation from both Payoff Tom and Payoff Jeff to check out all of their products. Like I said, I feel like every 2-3 months there's something new. They got a new bundle in the shop and stuff like that. Check that out. Like, you know, there's none of their products that Tom and I aren't already using. And then also that we wouldn't, like, we're going to recommend everything to you. So again, it's payoff20, payoff20 for 20% off and free shipping your entire order at manscaped.com.
A new bundle for your bundle.
Oh man. Yeah. How did I not think of that?
No bullshit. I'm getting ready to go away for the weekend.
Yep.
I'm going to be in a swimsuit. Again, I'm not making this up. I got my lawnmower sitting by the sink because when I get home, yep. I mean, waist to neck, I got to clean up my chest. I got to clean up below. I actually have to do my face too. You can see because we're on video. I got to shave. Because, you know, I'm going to be
around. Looking a little stubbly there, buddy.
Yeah, but I'm going to, I do the Manscaped thing first and then I shave it with a razor. But yeah, I mean, I got 20 minutes of this thing, but it'll save me time and look a little better. So
yep.
That's it. I mean, we use it. We love it. So Payoff 20. That's it, man. Good episode. And
of course, yeah.
We got a really exciting one next week. A match I haven't seen in a long time. So looking yep. forward to it. But as always, absolutely. Thank you for joining us on an all-new episode of The Payoff.